Hey, welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 153. My name is Martin Obando, a.k.a. Martin Rambo Obando. And I'm here joining you guys again tonight. I'm loving it being here. I'm blessed to be here with you guys. And tonight, of course, is the Linux Maven, Door-to-Door Geek. How's it going, Door?
Hey, Martin. Doing pretty good. Normal, quote-unquote, insanity on my end. Just a note to the listener, we are recording this on a Monday night. We used to always be on Friday night?
Thursdays.
Back in the... In the day. And then we moved it to Thursday because that was Cody's open night. Cody's job did the old bait and switch on him. So now he's working again Thursday night. So we're switching nights again. Cody had an emergency thing he had to go to tonight, so he could not make it. But Monday should now be our quote-unquote regularly scheduled night.
And I think, you know, what a better way to start off the week with a little bit of Linux for the Rest of Us, followed up by a Geekster's dessert.
to complete the fiscal week.
Exactly. To complete the fiscal week, just put a nice cleansing palate and then just sit back and go,
Very cool. Very cool. I will say I've been very busy on the quote-unquote back end of Podnuts doing a lot of stuff. The one thing I want to remind people yet again, thinkpenguin.com. We do have coupon codes, and we do actually have a review that we got from a end user that Martin, I'm literally going to forward to you as I type, as long as I find the right email address. Looking for your pretty logo. I don't see it.
Oh,
there you go.
It's the one with the pink ribbon on it.
Exactly. Long story short, we still have plenty of coupon codes to give away. Think Penguin is a vendor, in my humble opinion, that first and foremost looks out for your personal, I don't want to say privacy, but your personal well-being, in that they try to have open source hardware a lot of the time. They also will load any operating system on the device you want, except for, of course, Windows. They clearly state there's no support offered for anything Windows on the computers, but they will load any Linux onto it. And the customer support you get, the handholding you get from this company, is near second to none. Do you see the...
Yeah, I have it up.
Yeah, it's from Charles.
Yeah, I was looking to see which Think Penguin box that was.
He got the Wii PC. I'm not sure which Wii it is now that you say that out loud. I believe they actually have a few Wiis. Yeah, they have two Wiis. They have the Wii 3rd and the Wii 4th generation. I believe he got the Wii 3rd generation, which is the $399 desktop.
Cool.
Micro desktop.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, this is from Charles, and he says, "Hello, Dorp. As promised, here is an update on my experience using the Think Penguin Wii PC. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the coupon code. Saving money is good. I just added more RAM. After a day's delay due to UPS truck being stranded on the I-40 in an epic traffic jam, the machine arrived. It was well packed, and there was not even cosmetic damage. As, a home for it was cleared away outside my office slash man cave slash doghouse slash shed, and everything else plugged in and powered up. I logged into the admin account and changed the password, made a user account, ran the updates to Mint 16 Cinnamon, installed a few handy programs such as Audacity, Calibre, EasyTag, Stellarium, GNOME AD2, GPotter, Inkscape, OpenShot, and finally
Sauerbraten
for when I needed a break. I don't know what that one is. I'll have to ask you when I'm
done.
That's
a game.
Okay. GIMP, VLC, and LibreOffice came pre-installed. That should give me enough to start. Then I went to pbs.org and watched Nova full screen with no tearing, no hunting for plugins, as most of the common ones were already installed. Next, several gigs of photos and media files were transferred to the Wii. For 3 days, I have been throwing everything at it, and so far, there has been nary a hiccup. The planar display looks great, and the keyboard and mouse have good action. I like clickety keys. The only thing that surprised me was the DVD drive. It's an external USB unit. As I mentioned it to a friend who asked me how often I used an optical drive, not often was my answer. So why are you complaining? You can use it on your netbook, and perhaps even the Raspberry Pi, he noted. Makes sense to me, so I'm okay with that. The Wii uses about as much power as my ancient Dell laptop. The fan is actually not loud, and it runs circles around the old laptop, not even getting warm to the touch. Overall, I'm delighted. Regarded, Charles."
Very cool, very cool.
So going through that list, he has to, I was, you know, okay, Audacity and Calibre and EasyTag and Stellarium. You're like, oh, Stellarium, that's the space one, right? Where you can look at like, the things. But then he gets down to like Inkscape and OpenShot and stuff like that. So he's not throwing, you know, Solitaire and, you know, a deck of cards on it. He's actually throwing real life heavy hitting apps on this program, on this machine.
Oh yeah. And see, that's the thing, I think. Because Linux needs so much quote unquote less hardware, what's considered bland or slow in the Windows world, like this little Wii box might be, in the Linux world, this box is a little micro screamer. I mean, yeah, Sauerbraten is a full 3D game thing. This is not no little, this isn't Pac-Man, even though I like Pac-Man. Yeah, he's throwing full league apps on this thing, and I will say most of the apps he's mentioning I do run and use myself. I'm just thrilled on his results, and I will say part of the reason I wanted to do this was to let people know there's another choice out there. Think Penguin is another valid, reputable choice that you should think along the lines, to be honest, of HP, Dell when you're thinking a Linux computer. I'm really happy with his results. I am thrilled.
So this wasn't a laptop. This was one of their desktops, correct?
Yeah, this is their micro desktop. It's basically like the size of a hockey puck.
Wow. I'm looking at their site, that the third generation Wii PC is $399 and the fourth is $449. So they're decent prices. They're comparable and they're very competitive prices. I mean, the fourth one, The fourth gen comes with the Intel H87, and then the third gen for $399 comes with either a i3 or a i3. Yeah, it comes with a Celeron or an i3 processor.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems to me like awesomely fair prices for really good, cool hardware. I mean, it's one thing to make open, quote-unquote, hardware. It's another thing to make it cool, and I will say I do think ThinkPenguin threaded the needle on those Wii PCs.
Yeah, these would make great PCs for kids, or just you, me. That's really cool. That's cool. Yeah. Thanks for the review, Charles. That's we can talk about it. They can give us codes to give away. They can give us prizes. They can give us shirts and coasters and keychains and bottle openers. None of that matters. All of that is minuscule compared to a real live, you know, testimonial by somebody who listens to the show. So thank you again, Charles.
Yes. And I will say every testimonial I get via email, I want to first verify with the person sending me it that I would really like to forward it back to the company. Because I think too often companies don't hear the good things about what they do. They only tend to hear gripes about things like, well, the package came late, the package was damaged or something like that. Things completely out of their control. So I like reminding the company that there are happy people out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I have a genuine desire to own a ThinkPenguin. I don't have disposable income just sitting around. So I got us a sponsor for this show. And I will say this.
Is it bacon?
Door does not... I wish.
Is it bacon?
No, bacon. Actually, I don't wish, because then I would just want bacon and pay off and not money. And now here's the thing. I have literally turned down multiple companies and institutions and products from being sponsors to Podnuts and even to this show. I turned them down, people, okay? Because I only want to talk about something that I know has value to you, the listener. Okay. Always the first ad, quote unquote, is the longest. This is this first ad with this company, Linux Academy. I've known about them for over a year. I took my time looking at their product, and I'll say this. I've never said this in public. Part of the biggest reason why I never made Linux for the Rest of Us video series 2 is why. Because I can't compete with these guys, okay? These guys do so much more than a video set that I could have done. And for a mere dollar, you get a 14-day trial. One stinking dollar, you get a 14-day trial to everything they have. And it's a full-blown trial. It's not a hampered or a neutered or a limited trial. It's a full trial. And after that, it starts off $25 a month and as low as $19 a month. What these guys teach you is well above me, but they also have an extreme amount of content for the newest of the newest user. These guys covered the spectrum of Linux learning far, far, far greater than I ever could, period. I'm not going to put out a half-baked product when you can get something completely, fully baked and glazed and, you know, presented to you perfectly for such a good price. I'm not even going to try to compete with such a thing. So if you out there want to learn Linux, I cannot encourage you more. LinuxAcademy.com. Please do not forget to use the referral link. All one word, Linux for the rest of us. We have to make sure they know that customers are coming from this podcast because I'm not trying to sound dumb. Every dollar I get from every sponsor I get goes directly back into content for this show or products to help me run the network. This is not going into trips to Disney for the family. This is not going to anything pointless or useless. This is going into products and services I need to run this network, like a real NAS to do real backups of all the 50 plus gigs of shows from the network, or it's going to go to products that I can then give away to listeners, or it's going to go into products that I review and then give away to the listeners. That's the goal with this. And I literally tracked them down. I literally tracked down Linux Academy and basically started up a conversation with them because I want to create relationships with quote unquote good people. And Anthony at Linux Academy is by far really good people. And if you have any questions about that, I highly encourage you. ElementOP.com, Everyday Linux. Listen to the past 30 plus shows, it seems like. They have been doing ads for this for a long time. They actually have Anthony on an episode where they interview him. And the passion is just coming out of every orifice when he's talking. It's unbelievable how much work this guy is putting into this site. And I will say this. Even if you pay the $25 a month, you are stealing money out of this guy's pocket. What he is giving away is literally, in comparison, thousands of dollars other people charge for this exact same kind of service. Take advantage of it while you can is what I will say. And I highly encourage you out there, people out there, and you know who I'm talking about, because some of you guys have told me that you've used this service. Please send me an email. Send me a testimonial so I can read. So people can hear from not my mouth, but from your mouth, your hands-on experience of what kind of service this is, what you felt about it, what you thought about it, what you got out of it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I love about this, and I've listened to that, you guys can't see, but right over my shoulder here, I've got stacks of books over there, and they're all Cisco books. I've taken Cisco courses, I've taken Cisco classes. The problem is that I have those books over there, and that's great. The problem is that I open them up, I read them, and I say, okay, now I have to buy all this equipment for my lab. I don't have money to buy a lab. I don't have money to buy a Cisco gear for just to mess with. Linux Academy, you get a lab server. You get virtual devices that you get a chance to play with. And when you're all said and done and you're ready to go, you get 20% off your Linux Plus voucher to take a test. I mean, really, talk about disposable income. You're going to spend it on a books and a lab to mess with? Or are you going to spend it on this, where this is constant, updated, always changing, always new, always fresh, and then you get a discount to go take the test? I don't know. It sounds like a win-win to me, and I'm definitely going to start working at this. And, you know, maybe in a couple months from now, I'll be taking my test.
Yeah, and I'll say, it isn't only instructional videos what this guy has. You can download the MP3s, and like Martin says, you have access to Amazon Web Services instance that you can spin up your own Linux boxes to play on via their interface. You also have, and here's the kicker, practice exams. When you're done watching a set of videos, you have practice tests. And here's the whole kicker about this whole thing. This was the nail in the coffin telling me I had to approach this guy to be a sponsor. I said months ago, accessible software is just when when a software developer does things right from beginning to end, okay? To be accessible just means you're doing your job as a software developer. You're not doing anything over, above, or extra 99% of the time. You're just filling out all of the fields in your process, okay? You're not skimping corners. You're doing everything complete. Everything in the Linux Academy is completely accessible using screen readers, okay? And I said this to him, and he said, what? What are you talking about? He had no idea. Okay, that dirt there, it was just proof. That was utter ridiculous proof. This guy is doing everything right because his entire site is accessible and he didn't even know it. That's how good, that's how complete, that's how much care and thought has gone into this site, this service that he's offering to you. There's no one out there. That IT pro thing that people are touting about, let me tell you something, they don't hold a candle. They don't hold a candle to the heart and passion coming out of the Linux Academy. And that's just the bottom line.
I didn't know that at all, that it was completely accessible. That floors me. And if I ever meet Anthony, I'm going to give him a beer and then an awkward man hug. But I will totally do it.
You're going to have to push me out of the way because that's what I'm doing first.
A grip hug.
Exactly. He will never come to us again. And I'll say this. The best thing about this site and service is literally every single week there's new content. He's not resting on his laurels, okay? This guy, some people call me the hardest working man in podcasting. They have no idea. There's much harder working people out there, okay? When it comes to Linux knowledge, nobody holds a candle to Anthony. He is the hardest working man, as far as I'm concerned, in Linux education, bar none. LinuxAcademy.com, referral, Linux for the rest of us, all one word. It's just good stuff. And if anyone out there says they literally can't afford a dollar, if you've ever emailed me before, email me again. I will PayPal you the dollar for the first 2 weeks free. That's how much I believe in this product.
And then I'll reimburse you, Dora, for that dollar.
Oh, you don't have to. I'll just give that to Cody.
That's right. We'll hold him up and we'll shake him by his feet.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. That's asking a lot there, brother. Okay. I cannot thank Anthony enough, and I cannot thank Chris enough. Think Penguin. I just bribed coupon codes at him. He ain't giving me no money. I'm just giving away coupon codes because I like him. Linux Academy, I did my best to sweet talk Anthony because I believe his product will help everyone who listens to this show, no matter what your level is. So please partake in his knowledge and let us know what you think.
Yes.
And I'll say this, Cody. Martin, woo. Martin.
It's okay. We look alike.
A lot. No, not at all. Here in 3 weeks, I don't know about you, I am literally giddy because we have, the only way I can classify it is maybe one of the most fun weekends of the year coming, and that's Northeast GNU Linux Fest.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. I'm flying out the night before. I'm taking a red eye to get there.
Me too. I'm getting on a bus at 8 p.m. at night, getting off at 5:30 in the morning in Cambridge.
Yeah, I'm just getting on a plane, and then I'm going to go to sleep. But I land in Chicago at like 5 a.m., so I don't know which is worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can fall asleep on the bus.
Well, I'll find out, though. Linux Academy MP3s.
I don't want to fall asleep to learning stuff.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I'll put on like Honey Boo Boo or something.
Oh.
But do not forget, people, if you're in the Cambridge area, April 5th, northeastlenuxfest.org, go there, find out all the information, doortodoorgeek@gmail.com, hit me off. I will do whatever I can to meet everyone I possibly can and sit down and talk to as many people as possible after I sit down with Bruce Patterson. He's the guy. I'm sorry. I talk to Russ every now and then. I talk to Chad every now and then. I talk to Cody every now and then. I talk to you every now and then, Martin. I talk to Jonathan every now and then. I do not get enough time to talk to Bruce Patterson. So he's the first guy I got to sit down and push other people out of the way and just talk to them.
Well, last year I met a lot of people at OLF, and now I'm meeting the NELF side of the people. So it's this is the second side of the family for me, and I'm very excited to meet them.
Very good times. Okay, now we're going to get into the links of the show, and the first couple links all are related, okay? There's a common thread, and this is a thread that is well-stitched in my psyche because we haven't done a show in a while, and this has been literally coursing through my head nonstop since this last show that we did, okay? Long story short, there's a bizarre, quote-unquote, a attacks that infects Linksys routers with self-replicating malware. Okay, I did get a little bit harassed before on the show from your friend and mine, Ken Fallon from Hacker Public Radio, saying I was almost anti-FUD guy. Okay, these routers are running Linux, and they are quote-unquote infectable, and they are, in the real world, getting infected by this worm. Okay, but I want people to pay attention of the mechanics of how this is happening. This is not a Linux vulnerability. This is not a kernel flaw. This is not an error in coding in the open source community. This is an error on the vendor's part of leaving code in that they created. Okay. This is a company selling a product. Their product is meant to make them money. Their goal with this product is to make them money, not to give the end user the most secure router possible. I want people to take notice of that. Now, this was big on Security Now. Steve Gibson went into kind of detail about this quote-unquote Linksys attack. But as it turns out, Martin, since then, we've had much more infections happen. I believe two links down, we also have Ars Technica also talking about SUSE routers.
Yeah, so, is this the same attack that's affecting, remember, the D-Link computers, where it's the open, where it's actually, if you put in the correct string and the correct URL, you actually get the backdoor, because it's the same way they use the CDs to actually access the data. You know, when you put in, you get a new router and use the CD, it doesn't ever ask you for a username and password, it just logs you right into the router?
Well, yes and no. Yes, it's the same basic principle thing that first affected D-Link, then it affected Linksys, okay? Then what they found out was basically every manufacturer is using the same mechanics, quote-unquote, in order to do that first-time wizard-esque setup of forcing you to enter information. As far as I can tell, it seems like every vendor has some kind of error that they're doing, okay? We're basically, yes, in the user agent string of a browser connection, there's a certain text that needs to be there, a certain string of characters. And if that string of characters is in there, then everything in the following part of that browser call is committed to the operating system. And that's how they're injecting basically code into that firmware.
But that unique string is not individualistic. It's the same string across all the routers.
Well, I think ASUSes are slightly different.
Okay.
But it's the exact same vector, period.
Right. Right. Okay. You know, one of the things really quick that interests me is that going through this, the Linksys link there, it goes down, and if you read it, there's a line that says, the exploit may also change some of the router's domain name system servers to 8.8.8.8 or 8.8.4.4, which are IP addresses used by Google DNS service. And I know this is Monday, March 17th. Yesterday, 8.8.8.8, Google's DNS service was hijacked for 22 minutes, and it was taken to somewhere else. So who knows if you were using that, if anybody could have seen any usernames, any passwords, any kind of your data that you already sent over. So, I mean, we look at this, and when this came out in February, we go, okay, it's bad, but how bad is it? And now we're kind of seeing, you know, maybe the next level, like an onion. It's opening up, and we're able to see a little bit more, and we're going, oh, no, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the dirty secret. You just, like, smacked me in my face. What if the whole point of this infection was to change everyone to Google things, with the people knowing they could take over that DNS at some point in time?
Yeah. I mean, then what do? You're kind of up a creek. It's just, I don't know. I hope that companies keep on top of this. I hope that they release stuff, because it could just get worse. I mean, then once you take over, And then what do? You now have access to everybody's data.
Yeah. Scary. I would say that's scary. Okay, I just flip-flopped one of the links there. Okay, so we have two router manufacturers, at least. It's actually three or four router manufacturers having some sort of issue with their custom code in Linux basically routers. Then we had this big iOS thing that happened, okay? iOS had a big SSL error in its code that would allow acceptance of even invalid SSL certs, making man-in-the-middle attacks apparently much, much, much easier than they should have been.
Okay? Right.
It has been patched. It has been updated. But here's the bottom line. iOS, you know, does heavy, every major company does heavy documentation and code validation along the process. They have no idea how this code got in there, or they're not letting us know how this code got in here. This code just so happened to be inserted into iOS back in October 2012. If you take a look at Edward Snowden's, which you never heard me say this name on this podcast ever, you take a look at Edward Snowden's first set of released slides, and it said, as of October 2012, iOS is on board, or Apple's on board.
Right, the NSA contacted Apple.
Right, and so I don't know if that's a coincidence or what. I'm just saying this, you people believe, you take that out of that whatever you want. I don't even know what to think of it. So we have major, major manufacturers like Cisco, D-Link, Linksys, Asus, Apple, doing all these errors and errors and errors when it comes to security. Bottom line, kind of like Brian Krebs said, trust the numbers, okay?
Yeah.
Don't trust a company. And this is the bottom line, okay? The very next link is why it's vital for the public to fund open source in encryption tools. Here is the bottom line. We, the public, the consumer, the normal citizen, cannot trust a government, a corporation, a industry to basically be the stakeholders of our security. Their goals are not individuals' security. Their goals are either building up their knowledge database, keeping themselves secure, or maximizing their own profit margin. Okay, this is why the TrueCrypt audit, what it is so important to me. Okay, mm-hmm. I want to know what I can have faith in. I know anytime I go into a store and buy anything, I instinctively know I have to question it. To at least a degree, I have to question it. Is this really secure? Is this really the best solution? Does this really have my best interest at mind? This like harkens back to why I'm pushing Think Penguin. Okay. I believe they have more of my interest in mind with their products. Okay. I don't think D-Link does. I don't think Linksys does. I know Cisco doesn't. I don't think Asus does, and I like Asus. And I know iOS doesn't. They do not have my individual privacy or security or freedoms, even a measurable fraction on the scale of their goals.
Agreed.
So we need to make sure we fund open source tools and security enhancements. Support those who support you. Support those who can make it possible for your future security and privacy to remain secure and private. Period. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a soapbox because I'm not good at this either. And I thought about this the other week. I give money to the people who make my phone. I give money to people who make stupid apps for my phone. I give money to all kinds of things. I rarely invest money in quote unquote my digital future. I need to make it a personal priority to be true to myself, to start to make sure I fund my digital future, aka products and projects that are really end user focused and not corporate focused. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to encourage everyone out there, if they learn about things that sounds like what I'm talking about, please let me know. Please let me know. I live off of your guys' emails. I live off of your guys' Twitter postings, Facebook postings, Google Plus postings, where you call me out for links and stuff. It really does. Every time I get one, it just makes me giddy because I'm actively learning from people who listen to this show or to a different show that I'm on. That just makes it fun.
Yeah. Yeah, to bring back the TrueCrypt, they just finished the first audit. The information, if I remember correctly, hasn't been released yet, but it's getting there. So I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah, I do know that they had progress, but for some reason it's not updated on the website yet, but it should be very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, to me, just cool. It's the kind of thing I cannot wait for it to be done. Not that I use TrueCrypt every day, but if people say, what should I use for a solution, I would like to know in my heart of hearts that what I'm giving them is actually quote-unquote secure.
Right.
Okay. Now, I seriously don't know what to even think about this next one. For starters, I don't even know how it's pronounced. I think it's pronounced Oppi. O-P-P-I-A, maybe?
Oppia? That's
Oppia.
No, I Oppia. Think that's right.
I'll go with Oppia, because I'm typically wrong with these things. I don't even know how to describe this, because even when I listen to developers on other shows, they don't even know how to describe it, so I don't feel it's bad. Okay? What this is, basically, it's a framework that you can use to develop interactive learning, I don't want to say programs, I don't want to say applications. You can develop learning course material, I'll say, to help other people learn. So it's a tool to help you develop things to help someone else learn, is the best way I can describe it. Why? Because I don't know any other way to describe it. I will say this does seem cool. The only reason I'm mentioning this is I want to see what comes out of this in the future weeks and in the future months. I don't even know if it's going to be successful. Because it's Google, I know certain people are going to be vexed against it and not want to use it. But if you go to oppia.org, it is a Google thing, but that's the URL. You can go contribute by making things. I'll just say it's really interesting. Really interesting.
I think
it says
this
I can
is...
learn Latin.
There you go.
No, not learning Latin.
I don't know. I think, you know, with all the stuff that Google has out, and sometimes you go, okay, but if people can teach other people, because, so here we are, we've talked about the Linux Academy, about taking classes there. You know, you and I both have full-time jobs. We can't always get out, but yet there are things we want to do. And I don't necessarily have the time to go to a college course at night. You know, we both have families, but it looks like there are people out there who want to help teach other people. There are people out there who want to, you know, maybe there's our listeners who say, you know, I have this passion. I like to do this. I'm fluent in, you brought up Latin. Latin. I would like to teach my fellow Podnutsians, you know, Latin. Here's a great way they can do that. And they can just put out there for us to learn. And, you know, it's a give and take. And maybe I've got something that I can teach them. And I don't know. I just, this communal learning where everybody just kind of puts in what they know and everybody takes what they need. It's good.
Yeah, that's exactly my logic with it, too. Not even thinking, does this benefit Google? I don't care. In the end, I don't care what benefits Google. I care what benefits everyone else. This is a tool that could possibly benefit a lot of other people. It's just a question of who jumps on it, who makes content for it. Anything that helps with learning in any shape, way, or form, I'm extremely in favor of, partially because I was always reminded as a child in my grades that I had a learning disability of some kind. So any kind of different look at learning or teaching, I always am drawn towards, because I never know how I'm going to react to it until I see it in front of me in like action. And this to me does seem cool.
So Oppia is a Finnish word that means, when you translate it to English, it means learn.
Well, there you go. So
there you go. If I knew how to say it in Finnish, I could do it. But I'm.
They'll have a course soon teaching Finnish, but the Finnish make good things, right? So it has to be.
What do they make?
I don't know.
It's like I can't make, know if that's wrong one.
They make that. Don't they make that disgusting fish that's like soaked in
lutefisk?
I don't know. My wife were watching some Food Network show, and there was some horrible fish that even when Alton Brown came in contact with it, he like didn't want to touch it.
I got nothing. Sorry. Anyways.
I know. Welcome to my world, Martin.
Yeah. Do we have any Finnish listeners? Anybody who's Finnish out there, let us know what you make.
Yeah. Let us know what kind of things you come up with.
I don't know.
Okay. We all have multiple needs, quote unquote, pulling us in every direction. Me, I'm a different fella. I like I like when things have privacy and security as a feature and a focus. I also like supporting those who support me. But I have a unnatural desire for quote-unquote microcomputers. I don't even know where this stems from. It might have stemmed from Quantum Leap with Iggy and the hand thing. It might have stemmed from the old TV show Voyagers and the pocket watch. It might have stemmed from Star Trek and the personal communicator. I don't know where it stemmed from.
Michael Knight and the Kit radio?
I don't know. That was mega. That was big. That's a huge car.
Well, yeah, but he's got the little radio thing.
And he had the watch. Already had the watch.
So, I don't know. So sorry.
It could have stemmed from that. I don't know. I don't know where it stems from, but all I know is I have this unnatural... I'm going to use this word, Martin. I have a unnatural fetish.
Oh.
For small
computers. Afraid you were going there.
I know. I'm sorry. I love small computers of all types just because they're cool. They're different. Will I use them? I don't know, but I love tinkering with them and playing with them.
But, you know, really, if you were to have any fetish over any small computer, and we have talked about the Raspberry Pi up and down and every day to Sunday, and then we talked about this one the other day, and before you got done, literally, and I'm not just going to make this up, yesterday on the Podnuts Meetup, and if you've never been to the Podnuts Meetup, please come out. It's a great time. We have a great show. Bring stuff to talk about. Literally, you were talking about this. I had gone to the site. I was like, oh, this is awesome, and I was ready to hit... I had my credit card in hand. I was ready to buy it before you were done. Before you had taken your first breath, I really was almost, literally this close to buying one of these last night.
Yeah. Trust me. I know. Because I was really close myself the other day when I first saw this, just going and getting one. Okay. Everyone knows in the past, I was really infatuated with the MK808 thumb drive size computer. In hindsight, this is a extremely underpowered computer that can do some Android stuff. Android's really heavy. There's a little micro SD card you can put in the side and boot to, but it was a little bit slow. But it did work. Technically, it worked. I have another Android computer upstairs right now used as my son's multimedia computer, okay? I saw this Cubox, C-U-B-O-X, C-U-B-I-X-I.com, okay? It's 2x2x2 inches. Actually, no. It has to be smaller than that. The website says 2x2, but it's smaller than a quarter wide, right? If I look at the picture right. They say 2x2 inches, whatever. 2x2x2 inches, okay?
That's bigger than a quarter.
I know. We're talking about this. And now what it looks like is it's a cube, okay? Six-sided cube. Five of the sides basically have nothing on it. One side has all the ports on it. Has your HDMI, two USB, Ethernet, boom, all your ports on it, okay? But here's the thing I like. They already have pre-configured downloadable SD images because the SD card is the quote-unquote master hard drive. They have customized images for Android, XBMC, MDP, Jukebox, Digital Signage, aka Cody Cooper wants to have that thing in his store just showing off products and stuff, a digital sign right here, Digital Signage, a thin client, and a network... Network A attached storage images. So you just download them, burn them to your SD, put it in, boot it up. Okay, they're 2x2 computers. The low end is only $55. Okay, it's a 1-core, 1 GHz, 512 megabytes of RAM box. They have 4 versions of this box: $55, $70, $105, and $130. Okay, to me, the $104 is the one that I would like to get. It's a dual core, 1 GHz, dual core, 1 GB of RAM. It has a 64-bit 1066 Mbps RAM. That's faster RAM, faster than the low end. Dedicated GPU, all the normal ports that you would expect, including gigabit Ethernet. That's one thing I like. And it also has Wi-Fi Bluetooth built into it.
But Wi-Fi N, it's N.
Oh, sorry. Wi-Fi N built into it. Thank you. eSATA built into it. It has a RTC with the battery backup. So this power cord is not just a wall wart with a wire. The brick in the middle is a battery backup. That's cool. It also has a infrared remote control receiver and transmitter, a.k.a. handheld remote. So this is the perfect, in my opinion, multimedia computer.
Well, and I'm only saying this because my birthday was, 7 days ago. And before that, and we've never had a sound, any kind of sound in our house, really. It's just always been the TV speakers and things like that. My wife bought me a sound bar with a Bluetooth, and it had a Bluetooth subwoofer to it. It has audio, it has optical audio in.
Nice.
This all of these boxes come with optical audio in and optical audio out. So if you have any kind of high end receiver that takes optical audio, there you go. Okay. I mean, I was looking at the one right above it, $125. It's instead of the two cores, you get four cores. Instead of the 1 gig, you get 2 gigs. Everything else is exactly the same. You just get, you know, a little more RAM.
You know, you deliver RAM and twice the processing.
And twice the processor. My Raspberry Pi, when I moved, I unplugged it. It died. The chip doesn't work anymore. I was going to have to rebuild it. And then this came out. And I thought, why rebuild my Raspberry Pi? Because I had some hard times rebuilding it with Linux. I had to use the Windows box. And I had to go get noobs and reload it. And all this. Ta-da! Right here. It's already ready to go. And I thought, you know, for the same price of the Raspberry Pi. And now you held up your NK802. You know, so that was, you know, our one step. And then we had the Raspberry Pi, and now we have this. And I remember when that came out, you had said, this is just the beginning. I'm not quoting you verbatim, but you said, this is just the beginning of mobile computing. You know, you could completely take this. You were talking about running 2 years ago at OLL for NELF. You were talking about running your slides on that box. In 2 years, look at where we've come.
Yeah, it's insane. It's literally insane.
We have a device that has wireless and a gig and a wireless receiver for the size of a giant quarter.
Yes. Yeah. It's quite literally, I mean, it is the MK802 broken in half and stacked on top of each other kind of thing. It's basically the same overall volume in space taken up, but the power trumps it obsessively.
Oh, not even close.
Obsessively big. Yeah,
so that is just. I talked myself off the ledge of buying it last night, and now we're talking about it again, and I'm walking up to that ledge going, I don't think it's that far. I should just jump.
Exactly. It's easy. Look.
It's easy. Look.
Yeah. I would, and honestly, the main reason I was going to get one was to be my quote-unquote portable presentation computer. That was the logic I was using. But then I remembered I have to run a VM and do audio editing inside the VM. So to have two operating systems running, it might be a little bit much for this
box. But this would make a great, great, great media center box.
Oh, I concur. And to see, what I'm thinking about doing is we took the Nintendo Wii out of my son's bedroom. I put in a Android computer. It's a mid-grade one. In today's standard, it's probably fairly low grade. Even if I get the $69 version, it would probably blow away the performance of what he has upstairs. But if I get the $105 version, my logic is that will be good for a couple years, for probably 2+ years of him doing what he needs to do. That's my excuse for why I'm gonna try to talk the wife into let me get it.
Well, if you can talk her into the $104 one, I'll give you the extra $20 so you can upgrade it.
Jeez. Well, okay, here's the thing. All of their prices, everyone said to me, they're actually displaying $10 lower than what they actually are, because you have to get the quote unquote kit with it. You should get the quote unquote kit with it, which includes the SD card for maximum speed that they offer. Hey, I can never have enough SD cards, but also comes with, I think it was a
power supply was 10, and then the card was 7.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. The power adapter is 10 and the card is 7. So really 130. So the top end one, we're looking at $141.
Yeah, which is still, in my opinion, I'm sorry, very fair.
I'll still give you the $20.
Okay, I have to talk her into it, though, Martin.
I'll take it to
her. Scotch I can borrow?
Oh, I can. I think I know. I can find some.
Okay, good.
The virtual scotch. I'm not sure. It may take a while to get there.
Can't hurt. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, these microcomputers, I'm a firm believer, they're just going to keep exploding and exploding and exploding. And it's only because the modularity of the Linux kernel itself allows for scalable builds with custom hardware that just makes this rock and roll. Okay, this next thing I put in there, it's not to an article. It's to an image. Okay. And yes, there's some there's some words on the images, but this is the most straightforward thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. It's actually hosted at intac.net. So somewhere it's actually hosted on this website, and it's a WordPress website, as I can tell. But the image is entitled How to Build Your Own File Server. Step one, assemble your hardware, or you could buy this QBox if you wanted. Step two, install Linux. And here's the reason why I'm bringing this up. I almost like their methodology. Step two, install Linux. Step three, strip it down. Remove applications like GIMP, like OpenOffice, like Thunderbird, things like that, because you really shouldn't have to have them installed to do your own file server. Okay. After that, set up file sharing. They literally show you exactly what you have to do in order to enable file sharing, which is not hard.
But it's step by step.
Yeah, it's literally step by step.
Wow.
Yeah, step five, add FTP capability. And of course, this is an option if you want FTP, and they tell you exactly how to do it again. Step six, set up shell access. This is so you can SSH into the box. And again, they tell you exactly how to do it. Now, this is all for Ubuntu. So if you're running Fedora, don't send me any hate mail because I don't care about that. And then voila, you're done. You have your own customized file server where you can run Windows file sharing, FTP, and SSH, connect to it three different ways to get things done. And it was all thanks to an image with text just on it that's really super ridiculously, absurdly easy to follow.
Now, a couple things. This is awesome because in Geeksters, we have put out a call for people who are, if they're interested in setting up a NAS, and I've received six emails over the last week. So we're going to be talking about building a NAS in Geeksters. Mm-hmm. But number two says install Linux, and then three says strip it down. It must be implying to install the graphical interface. If you were to install the server version of this, you could go in and turn on FTP and SSH when you're loading. It has those options to just turn those on. So you could even bring this down to probably three steps or four steps if you just loaded the server base version of Ubuntu.
Yeah. The only reason I think they're telling you to do that is so you can do those custom configurations via the desktop GUI. I don't see, and I will say, if you do not load a GUI, you will always get much better results out of your experience, I'll say. The reason I like this is because it literally, you're forced to learn a little bit. Instead of just installing free NAS or open NAS or any of those things, you actually have to do a little bit of learning, which I'm kind of in favor of. I don't like giving people paths to solutions that are quote-unquote too easy. I like where they have to do just a little bit of work. I think it helps them understand what's going on a little bit better. But it's not the drop-in, here's your file server kind of solution. Right.
And I'm the type of person, personally, that I need that little bit of work so I can understand it more. If you just gave me it and said, here you go, I'd say, great. And then when it breaks, what do you do? Who am I calling? You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay, now I did find the actual page where this image was referenced that, and there is one change. The change is step four, setting up file sharing. They actually have a sample of the smb.config file, which you will basically need in order to set up your Samba, aka Windows file sharing, completely correctly. So we do need words, just not a lot of words.
That's a pretty just straightforward, easy build of a NAS or a file server or whatever like that.
Yeah. Okay, now this next one, Martin, I'm sorry. I'm almost giddy. Now here's the thing. I've literally messed up my podcatching a couple times. So I've just found out the other day that there's a couple shows I've just been missing. But I hope, I really hope, I'm praying to the Linux podcasting gods right now. I really hope I'm the first guy that mentions this one. Because this, I'm sorry, is cool. Okay? It's called Bro Pages. In Linux, we have man pages, right? That's for manuals. Well, these are the bro pages. These are a little bit less formal than man pages.
Last time you said, I'm sorry, you pointed me to that camera, that build your own Raspberry Pi camera, or the build your own completely open source laptop. Yep. I haven't clicked on it yet.
Right? Okay. What this is a installable package called Bro. B-R-O. Okay? And what it gives you is, instead of typing man curl and getting a bunch of formal declarations and all kinds of stuff, no, this is much more informal. This is much more, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but this is much more normal, where you type bro curl instead of man curl, and it just gives you a straightforward, look, this is what it does kind of thing. There's no fanciness. There's no frills. There's no, no, there's nobody drinking tea while they like write down this kind of stuff. This is bro stuff. Okay. I'm sorry. This to me is the best thing I've ever seen in my life to get help on the command line, because it's in plain English and it's short and sweet. It isn't filled with a bunch of stuff that I really don't care about. This just tells me what I want to know. I think this is fantastic.
I'm trying to figure out how to install it.
You should, depending on what distro you're on, just do a apt-get install pro.
No, it's not in the stock. I mean, it's not in the Ubuntu repositories, but we'll find it. Cause I wanted to look at it and see, because I don't see any, it tells you, you know, what it does, but I was looking to see, like a compare and contrast. So I'll have to find out where it is, but,
it might have been a Gen 2 package I found. Oh, it's part of Ruby Gems. That's what it was. I don't know what it's a part of. All I know is it friggin' works. You know what I mean? I'm just
thinking about that. It looks cool.
Yeah. And hopefully other podcasts will start mentioning this just because it's different and unique. This is disruption in learning on the command line. I'm all in favor of that. Now, to go completely opposite of disruption in learning on the command line, let's stick with something utterly mainstream, okay? We just had the Lego Movie, a huge, insane, ridiculous success, okay? Why not teach methodology of open source via Legos? Because it is kind of apropos. When you watch this video, a long time ago, I said, think of open source as recipes. When you go to a restaurant, wouldn't you like to be able to have the recipe of what they're making you? It doesn't take away from what they're making you. You still pay for the convenience of going to a place, sitting down, having someone else prepare everything, buy everything, cook everything, serve everything, remove everything, clean everything. Okay, what you're paying for is the service. The knowledge of how to make it should be open. Same kind of thing with Legos. Legos are put together in a way that should be open source. Okay. This is a really cool video. I just got to say, I was really tickled when I saw it, and I did bookmark it for my son, but I'm sure if he heard the word open source right now, he still wouldn't grasp what it is.
But you can say, how do you know Legos?
Yes. And then he'll go, I'll watch it. Cause it doesn't matter. It's Legos.
I have seen links to this, but I have not watched it. And so now it is bookmarked, because I definitely will watch it.
Now I'll say, I don't personally agree with everything that they say, because they are on more of the open source alliance more than the GPL, but it doesn't matter. This is still educational and helpful to a huge percentage of people out there. I encourage people to share this link with as many people as possible. Just because it's Legos, certain people will just watch the whole thing, okay? And something might strike in their mind as being, well, that makes common sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So that's what open source is. Seriously, G plus this, Twitter it, Facebook it, whatever it, just send it out there, get it to more people.
Yes. I was reading some of the comments, and they're saying they're getting it wrong because of the difference between, they're interchangeably using the word free software and then open source software as interchangeable. And so I think the point of this video is not necessarily to take one camp or the other, but here's a broad stroke about what it means to do all of this stuff. Then if you want to really start arguing about what the difference is between free source and open source is, maybe that's another Lego movie. I think that Lego clip is going to be a little bit longer than 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Just a little. Well, yeah. And that's the thing. I'm a firm believer in, you don't have to say everything in perfectly accurate. The whole point of these things are to get an original idea across to someone, to get someone interested to go learn more. The first time I learned math, I didn't learn everything about math. I just learned a couple basic concepts of math. And then you get into irrational numbers. They're numbers that don't make sense. That's when 2 + 2 does equal 5. Okay. So does that mean when someone tells me initially 2 + 2 = 4 is wrong? No, it just means in this environment, in this atmosphere, just take this as fact and then move forward and learn more. Same thing with this. It's not completely accurate, but it doesn't matter. It's great to someone who has no idea what any of it means.
Right.
So those nitpickers can pick all they want. I don't care. Get away. Go play Minecraft if you hate Lego so much or something. I don't know.
It's too advanced for me.
I know. Well, bad news. There's now a Minecraft movie in the making, thanks to the executive producer of the Lego movie.
I haven't seen the Lego movie yet either.
Neither have I. The kids have, though. They wouldn't stop singing for like 2 weeks.
My daughter came home and started singing the Frozen stuff, so I'm assuming it's kind of along the same lines.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I have anything else for the show, Martin. No, I don't.
No. But speaking of, you know, we talked about Northeast Linux Fest, and that's put on by Jonathan, our friend. Jonathan Admiral, Captain Jonathan. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Jonathan N. Exactly. And he's got a great program out there, our foundation, actually, the Accessible Computing Foundation at theacf.co. You know, your eyes got wide, my eyes got wide when we talked about Linux Academy and their accessibility. This is the hardest working man in accessibility. He, you know, if you've ever listened to the show at all, if you've ever even heard him talk, he is all accessibility and he just loves it, breathes it. I mean, he uses it. It's not just something that he just, you know, is a big guy about. He loves it, breathes it, lives it. So, theacf.co, there's monthly donations. If you can give any amount per month, I know Jonathan will give you a big high five. And I expect a high five from him when I do see him. I may even move, though, really quick there just to tweak with him.
Exactly. Well, you wouldn't have to move really quick, that whole thing. I implore everyone, okay? Look, if people can go to podnuts.com and click on the donate button, that's fantastic. But I'll tell everybody right now, a percentage of what everyone donates to me, I donate to theacf.co. Just cut the middleman out, okay? Just go to theacf.co and set up a reoccurring donation. Just like we can't trust corporations to do security kind of things right, to a certain degree, I don't trust corporations to do charity right, okay? I don't trust big corporations to take every penny they got and put it into the right places kind of thing. I do trust a man packed to the gills with piss and vinegar to get things done, but also with morals and ethics. I don't know a single person with that much of a combination of those things more than Jonathan they do. I implore people, donate reoccurring to him. He is the guy who can make changes in the world for the better. I'm the guy that provides mildly entertaining content. Okay. He's the guy I want people to help.
Yeah. Definitely agreed with that. Any amount can do.
Yep. Absolutely, man.
And speaking of donating, you had mentioned you guys can donate to us, you know, at the Podnuts. You can, you know, go to our, we have a lot of affiliate links, amazon.com, so podnuts.com/Amazon, Newegg, eBay, deals, clothing, and then of course, don't forget of the Linux Academy, linuxacademy.com, with the reference code of Linux for the rest of us. Get you some money there. And that is exciting. I know I'm definitely looking forward to sitting down and doing that. I got some travel time coming up. So looking forward to that. Was there any voicemails?
No voicemails that I can remember.
All right. Well, if you do want to send us a voicemail, and actually, if you want to send any, it sounds like any of the shows on the Podnuts show for voicemails, 7076-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688. And a little side note here, I come from Northern California, where I grew up, and the area code there was 707. So I'm curious if you're patching through my hometown. So
sure, that's, yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know, maybe. If you want to send emails to Linux for the Rest of Us, it's podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. We enjoy hitting your emails, just like we got an email from Charles today talking about his Wii PC. Enjoy getting emails all over the place. It's a great time.
Yeah.
And we got, 13 days before NELF? Is that what you said?
No.
So no?
19 days.
I'm going to Disneyland next week. And so then I come back on Saturday, and then Thursday night I'm off to Nelf. So awesome. I'm just going to be like, I may show up. I may not even change. I'll just show up to Nelf with I Heart Disney shirt and ears and be like, oh, let's go.
And you'll fit right in.
And they'll be like, oh, Martin's here. Exactly. I'd walk away with a new nickname, though. I'm out of nicknames. My badge isn't too big enough.
Exactly.
I've had a great time coming out and hanging out with you again tonight. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you.
That's why any and every time you can come out to the Podnuts meet a Martin, I just take as a bonus.
And I, you know, and to second that, well, not for me. That sounded a little narcissistic. And I do second that comment. Come out to the Podnuts meetup. If you've never come out to the Podnuts meetup, if you're afraid you just are, you don't know what to say, it's going to be too awkward. We have so many shows and we love putting on shows for you guys. And we love coming up with content to tell you guys. The meetup is for you to come to us. You know, I'm there. Dora's there. We have Jonathan Nadeau shows up. Cody Cooper is there. There's people. We've had Chad on there a couple times. Jeff has been on there. We have all of these people who come out that we put on shows for you guys, that we're hosts from the Podnuts Network for you guys. We love to hear from you guys. We love that the fact that you guys will come out and bring stuff, talk to us. If nothing else, come on in, just sit there and just listen to us. And I guarantee you, if you come back, you will not want to, you're not going to want to sit there quietly in the corner. You're going to want to jump into the conversation, because we have a rolling good time. It's completely unscripted. The door tries to rein us in, and sometimes he can, and sometimes I think he just says, forget it. I could just see him throwing up his hands in the air and says, I'm going to go get another drink. You guys ramble on for a while and I'll be back.
Exactly. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I go to the bathroom, get a drink, just let you guys go.
And we come back and we're like, 15 minutes later, you're still talking about why the quarter on one side is shinier than the other?
Exactly. And I'll just say this for the audio listeners right now. I'm putting my arm up, flexing my muscle, because this is the kind of thing that makes me super ridiculously happy. Guys like Martin and Professor Messer came out to the show. When someone like him shows up, I just got to think in my heart of hearts, I'm doing something right. Because he is one of the coolest, nicest guys I think I've ever encountered on the public-facing internet. I don't know how he does it, but he's cool. I've never heard anyone say anything remotely bad about him ever. In every experience I've had with him, he's been nothing but the most nicest, kindest gentleman in the world, who just wants to share everything that he possibly knows, i.e. he's the kind of guy I try to be like.
I think you're doing a good job.
I try.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming out tonight, hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.